Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The wait is over. It's been a long week of waiting for game one of the World Series. 32 years of waiting for Toronto Blue Jay fans in the Toronto. Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays get ready for what is turning out to be a very, very heavily hyped World Series from a global perspective. And we talk so much about it, and I think, you know what, we overdo it at times and we play the victim card as Canadian sports teams, but at the same point in time there are conspiracies that are true in this world. But every sport is different, right? I mean, there's no coincidence Gary Bettman became commissioner in 1994 of the National Hockey League, and a team from Canada hasn't won since. All right, so you can sort of look at things like that. But baseball, you know, you always figured, oh, okay, the networks are going to hate this, man. Fox pays a lot of money. They don't want a team from Canada. They're going to lose 50% of their market. Toronto doesn't register in the Nielsen ratings. But somehow the Toronto Blue Jays are a likable team. They have likable players. The Los Angeles Dodgers have sort of become the Duke Blue Devils of baseball, the new evil empire, and there's a massive amount of interest. And the media scrum, the press conferences for the World Series yesterday, and I've been to the last, like, you know what, five Super Bowl media, so like I was there for the Travis Kelce media scrum last year. It's bigger. This World Series is massive. You have an entire country of Canada and their media. 11 million people tuned in at one point. America loves baseball again. They hate the Dodgers. They want to see the Blue Jays win. Canada's team has become America's team somehow. In Japan, the Dodgers average 15 million viewers a game in the playoffs. I thought it'd be higher, to be honest with you, because the World Baseball Classic, they got 45 million viewers, but the Dodgers are getting about 15 million people. So there's like 15 million hardcore Dodger fans. So for the record, Fox in the U.S. got 9 million people, and Japan has 15 million people watching. Like, this is the biggest global World Series in the history of baseball by far. Like, this is it. And we're joined by a man who was in the building and on the field the last time the Toronto Blue Jays were in the World Series. And the last time the Toronto Blue Jays won the World Series, Richard Garner steps up and in. Richard, it's been too long. Had to get you on. It's the Blue Jays and the Dodgers in the World Series. I wish I was in Toronto. I thought I would be. I thought I'd be able to pull it off. But the price gouging that is going on at all levels and around the Blue Jays is astronomical. And, you know, it wasn't even really the ticket price. It's the airlines, right? The son of a bitch airlines in Canada. And there's only, you know, three, four of them. And really, let's call it out for what it is. WestJet and Air Canada kind of dominate the route to Pearson in Toronto. They're price gouging everybody. It's $1,200. It's $800 for one way. Like, so I looked. I'm like, all right, I can get into the game. I can do this. I'm going to come to Toronto. Hotels in Toronto, $600, $800, $1,400. You know, $600 to stay at the airport type of thing. I found I'm staying at the Westin Marriott at LAX for $124. So the price gouging is just, it's value. Too much.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, the ticket was like $850. Richard Garner in the house, Cam Stewart, but we'll start you, Richard. Good to catch up with you. How excited and fired up are you for this?
Yeah, great to be on with you guys. Been too long, like you said, and it is. It's super exciting. And to be honest, I was just telling somebody earlier, it's caught me by surprise, actually, Gabe. And it is interesting how you sort of teed things up off the top, because we talked about it a lot back in the day, you, me, and Cam. Like, we had gone through and lived through that sort of period where baseball's finished, baseball's too slow, kids don't like baseball, they're sputtering to the end, everything's about basketball, NFL going forward. And so bought into those narratives. And in some cases, there was truth. Definitely TV numbers had gone down in certain areas and the interest wasn't the same. And now I wake up to this, you know, 2025 situation where, to your point, it's super global. So one, that obviously is a major factor. But also, at least in this country, you know, if you're 35, 38, those 92 and 93 championships, they don't resonate with you. You weren't around. Right? Like, that wasn't your team. So the level.
That's like us, Richard, growing up and seeing the black and white footage of Maurice Richard.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm a Canadian fan, but I didn't see that. Like, it wasn't around. That's another world. You're right.
And people would say, you know, the 72 Summit Series, it was so, it'd be like, I was three. Yeah. Like, I have no connection to that. So one, in Canada, it's way bigger than I thought it would be at this stage. But the second thing, you throw in the Japanese, obviously the Dominican, South America, there's a massive, we'll see it at the World Baseball Classic this year, which will probably be the biggest ever of the three or four they've done. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, maybe baseball isn't dying, Gabe and Cam. Maybe this world flavor and everything else going on has actually had a resurgence with the game, which we're seeing now.
Well, let me double down on that. As far as the World Baseball Classic, I went to the last one, Richard, in Arizona. Off the hook, it's gotten bigger and bigger. And, like, this thing, it's turning into, like, a World Cup of Soccer type thing. Like, you saw the intensity with Ohtani versus Trout.
And just quickly, Gabe, who gets – like, is that all Manfred? Does he have all the credit for the WBC?
No, it was the players.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the Major League Baseball Players Association. And in fact, Manfred and baseball were against it at first.
Interesting.
Right? They were like, no, 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 no. And basically the player said, you can't stop us. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Contractually, they couldn't stop them, basically. So,
yeah. Because what a success. You're right.
Yeah, no. And remember we went in Toronto many, many years ago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I remember after watching a UFC in the bar up there at on St. Clair, what was the name of the show?
the Sports Cafe.
Yeah. I remember we went to the UFC that night, watching the UFC there. I walked in and there was like Shane Victorino and Mike Cameron and all the USA players
were
there.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was like talking about UFC. I got Victorino on the MMA show. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm buddies with BJ Penn and like. Yeah, it was sort of like smaller, like at that time. Now it's like, oh, Aaron Judge, Ohtani. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, now Aaron Judge going to be in this year. But the scale of it, but I just want to throw something out there quickly about, like, because there's a lot of talk about Who Killed the Expos. The Netflix special is out. And yeah, great timing. Just a little, like, little turn of the knife for Montreal Expo fans the same week the Blue Jays are in the World Series. And it's complicated because the Blue Jays voted to contract the Expos. Right. Management, like, we're like, F the Expos, like, we'll take over the country. Screw them. They suck. We're richer than they are. Rogers, ironically enough, have been supportive. Right. They were the ones that are sort of, hey, let's host games in Montreal and let's reach out to them. And like, so, but my point is, so everyone in Montreal who killed the Expos and everyone's waxing poetic. And here we go again, 20 years later, whatever. You know, reliving the funeral. And like I said, Richard, people asked me, are you excited to watch it? And I said, I was there for the funeral live. I don't need to dig the body up 22 years later now. Right? Like, that's why I look at it. But my whole point is with this, I saw Rob Manfred on Sportsnet yesterday. And he was talking about Canada and about the Blue Jays' success. He was like, 11 million people tuned in. He goes, they're like the biggest team. Like, Manfred sees it and knows it. Manfred's like, all over Canada, the Blue Jays have huge ratings and baseball. I like when Manfred said, I vacationed in BC, in Western Canada this summer. Right? Like, all there, yeah. He dropped it. Absolutely beautiful place. Vancouver would be a great baseball town. And then he even said, like, the point blank, he's like, anyone that sees what we see that goes on in Canada would be crazy to say that they could not support another team. And he goes, we would love nothing better to go back to Canada.
Wow.
The guy like was begging, like essentially, like, hey, step up, right? Step up. And yeah, right. Instead, people in Montreal, Richard, are crying about who killed the effing Expos and David Sampson. Like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Like, you can get a baseball team back. Baseball wants to go back. The agents, the player association, they have a little vote of cities that yes, no. They're all like, love Montreal. Do it, do it, do it. Well, Montreal, you can do all the Netflix things you want. You actually have to, like, you know, it's all talk. Like, the Stephen Brofman, the kid, Richard, he keeps daddy's money, right? Likes to play the hero every now and then. Let's bring the Expos back. Garber, remember my boy Mitch Garber that I knew before he got rich?
Yeah.
Garber moved on, Richard. He bought the Cirque du Soleil. He bought a piece of the Seattle Kraken. He moved on with his life, right? He realized, I can't, like, Montrealers are losers. They're never going to invest in anything. Look at the World Cup. The World Cup wanted to go to Montreal. The mayor of Montreal said, no, we're not making you real grass. They said, you know, you're going to make like $350 million in a week if we come here. No, it's fine. So, no, okay. On top of this, get this. Team France, because France, you know, French, perfect, Montreal. They don't know where they're going to be playing, and it's bothering these powerhouse teams, guys, because this World Cup's around the corner in the summer. These teams like to plan things. They don't know where they're staying, where they're playing, right? So France had a good idea. Let's just set up shop in Montreal. We'll set up shop in Montreal, and we'll fly out of Montreal to the games and back to Montreal. Like, Montreal will be our World Cup home base. The city of Montreal, Richard, said, we cannot accommodate you. Like, France basically said, we need help. Like,
yeah,
what resort should we stay at? We're going to need a practice pitch. We need security. We need this. We need that. All of which that would have been paid for. They weren't asking for, like, oh, we're the prince, you know, like, you got to cover our cost. She basically said, you know, you maybe should look elsewhere. We, you know, we're really not interested in this. Like, so all you're like this, who killed the Expos? It's the same crap. I was just in Montreal. We played a show there. It's the, you know what I mean? There's parts of it that are thriving. The modern, young, French sort of tech crowd is booming and stuff. I'm not going to dispute that. But, man, Richard, the streets of St. Catherine, boarded up stores. Like, you know, you walk, oh, that used to be that. That used to be this. There's not there. What happened to Kojaks? What happened to Super Sex? Like, you know, times have changed when Super Sex couldn't stay open. Like, strip clubs are recession proof. Like,
no, especially, like, Montreal strip clubs.
Yeah, like, so, like, but it's like, it's not even like they wanted to change it. They almost went like Giuliani Times Square. We don't want all these strip clubs and these drunk tourists on our St. Catherine Street. All right, we prefer it empty. But I digress. And now leads me into Toronto. I posted a picture, guys, of what Toronto was in the 90s to what it is now.
Yeah.
Like, now it looks like whatever. It looks like Manhattan.
I saw the same.
Yeah, unbelievable. Richard, wild. Like, the growth of, like, then and now. But the question is, how much have you grown since then and now? And as a grown man, are you going to attempt? I was going to say sneak in, but that sounds nefarious. Are you going to attempt a free entry?
Free entry.
So the
are you gonna send up an entry or whatever? But so Richard famously, and it's the best story ever, when we were on Hardcore and The Score in the old days, Richard used to say, I can break in any stadium, I can get in any stadium. But he goes, it's really easy to get into the Sky Dome. And he told a story of the All-Star game, and you get out of the elevator and George Bush is there.
And Barbara.
Yeah, and Barbara, like, somehow you got in the seat, and they're like, what the hell, who the hell are you? And you're like, you played naive. Oh, sorry. Hey, I didn't know. Hey, like, hey, sorry about that. I just took the wrong elevator, guys. So, you know, Secret Service. So Garner was able to get in all the time. And I'll never forget, Richard, when the guy actually called in. Remember the operations manager from the Sky Dome? And he called in, and he said, he goes, yeah, well done, Richard. Oh, he sort of had some fun with it. He goes, but I don't think you'd be able to pull it off anymore. Times have changed. And that was like 20 years ago, Richard, 15 years ago. I remember that. So here we are now. Times have definitely changed, but it's the same building. It's the same building. So I know you're going to game two ticketed, and we'll get to that. But are you going to attempt this if there is a game six and game seven?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot recently, sent out a lot of me stretching memes. Or gifts, if you will, of because obviously, just in from a practical sense, the jumping on the field part, I said to somebody right away, immediate non-contact injury. Like, I wouldn't even be able to get to the infield. There would be an Achilles rupture.
And that's something that, you got in there pretty quickly, but that's something that is different. Yeah. I don't doubt you getting in. Running on the field, you're going to get tased in today's day and age. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or worse. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And if you remember, like, this is the thing about the – so I'll start with the jumping on the field stuff first, right? Like, as we know, watching enough sports over the years, most World Series end with an out, right? So if somebody's thinking, okay, there's two outs, okay, we're going to get ready if they, ground out and go to first. Well, this was different. The Jays are down, right? First of all, they're up in the game 5-1 at one point. So we're bombed, right? Like, it's just, woo, the party's on. We're winning the World Series. Philly storm back, I believe, in the 7th or 8th. And they're all of a sudden up 6-5. And all the depressants and the alcohol kick in. We're all like, oh, fuck, here we go. Oh, man. And I had been there, Gabe and Cam, the year before when they had the chance to clinch in Toronto against Atlanta. Lonnie Smith hits the grand slam off Jack Morris. They have to go back to the ATL. Now, obviously, they end up getting it done. But I remember, like, oh, here we go again. We're going to whatever. And then Carter comes up. And people forget about this. Like, first of all, I wasn't a big Joe Carter fan. I found he was a low average hitter, hit into a lot of double plays, but was a power and RBI guy.
I can't help but think, too, Richard, of the stories after of you. Of, like, him blowing off the camera and you just put the camera in his effing face. Like, I saw him this week, too. I just love Toronto. It's great coming back. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, Joe, you just, shut up. You love.
Yeah, he was the king of the was the king of the all smiles when that old song went on. But so at the time, they had pinch hit or pinch run earlier for Olerud. So on deck behind Carter was Alfredo Griffin. I mean, Cam is a longtime Jays fan.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
He wasn't hitting a home run, Richard. Yeah.
No, he was definitely not.
So I remember thinking, oh, this is brutal. This is the worst potential scenario you could have. And then old Mitch Wild Thing Williams, oh, he's going to bail us out with a nice walk, goes 2-0 on Carter. So I'm like, perfect. Just wait him out, Joe. He's all over the place. No, what does Carter do? Swings and misses 2 times in a row with terrible pitches. And I'm like, here we go. So my attitude, remember, we're in that first row, and I'll tell that story in a sec. And so we're sitting there, and I'm just thinking, disaster, don't hit into a double play. At least don't, and bam. And if you watch that replay from multiple angles, you see that's not a long fly ball. That is a straight clothesline, hang your clothes. Like, it's a line drive out immediately within a second. And the next thing I know, I hear this. And that's my own breath as I am running on the field. So there's no conscious decision at any point to go, oh my God, he hit it over. Hey buddy, you want to jump? No, it was just cut to, I'm on the field. I don't remember it happening.
And that's how you got so far.
And exactly, because it's immediate. And then all of a sudden I just remember looking up and going, oh my God, there's Joe Carter. Like, because he's jumping up and down, going around the bases. So it's taken him forever to get to second. By the time I get to second, he gets to second. And then, the rest is history.
I saw it yesterday, Richard. You fly by the short step there.
Yeah, it was wild. So, and I look like an escaped lunatic. But on the sneak in, Gabe. So first of all, we go down to the opening game in 89. And we go to they have a stretch against Baltimore late in the season to make the playoffs. We go down to that, but we find a way in to the then Sky Dome through the hotel that's attached to the Sky Dome. I won't get into the details because obviously I don't want to completely give that up. And so now we realize this isn't just this is a complete flaw in the entire design. And we're like, holy shit. So we're sneaking. It's not two guys getting into these World Series games. We're 10 and 12 guys. But as you would imagine, well, where are you going to sit? The place is sold out, right? Okay. So we get in throughout. And again, sorry, to be clear, we're doing this all through 92, all through the ALCS of 92 against Oakland, all through the, and then the World Series against Atlanta, all through the ALCS against the White Sox. and then ultimately the World Series against the Phillies. And every single time of those sneak-ins in the ALCS and the World Series, there's four seats in the front, like you see where we jump over. There's four seats right there, left field, first row. So we're like, we wait till the third inning each time to be like, you know, wait, make sure nobody shows up. And sure enough, nobody shows up. We go down, we sit in these seats. And we're wondering the whole time, who has these seats and is never showing up to any of these games? It's incredible. Now, that game six, the Joe Carter home run game, we go through the same whole protocol and get in. And then we're like, we look down and wait a sec. There's two people in four of those seats. So there's only two. And now we're like, what's up? Holy shit. We wait to the third, go down, just two of us sit down beside these people. Hi, how are you? Just, you know, act like we're supposed to be there. And then we get bombed over the course of the game with them. They're having beers. We're all having a good time. The Jays are up. So finally I go, look, I got to ask you, whose seats are these, man? We've been sitting in these seats for like the entire ALCS, the entire World Series, and they're front row, and we couldn't figure out who would not be using these seats. And the guy goes, and I could tell he had an American accent. There were younger guys, 30-ish. And he goes, we work at ESPN in Connecticut. And he goes, like, yeah, it wasn't like journalists. They were like an editor and a camera dude type thing. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, as it turns out, ESPN has season tickets in all the major parks, obviously, because they're there, you know, multiple times a year. And they forgot they had these seats because CBS covers the World Series and the ALCS at that time. So they were just sitting there. And then finally somebody realized, wait a sec, do we have four seats up in Toronto that aren't being used? So they ended up posting it in the cafeteria
later in the bulletin board.
Who, wow. Anybody feel like driving up to or going up to Toronto for game six? We have four seats available, and they could only get two people to go.
Unreal. That's amazing.
Because Toronto. So we're talking about it was like these guys drove up, right?
The price.
Back then, crossing the border and all that. So unbelievably, we not only were able to get in, but we had front row seats the entire time.
$67. That's what it cost to get into the World Series in 19.
Insane, man.
Yeah, wow. 1993. Somebody did the ticket. A Blue Jay fan showed their ticket from the World Series. It was $67. And it was the outfield. They're sitting in the same section pretty much. And this time it was $2,400.
Yeah. And that's, you're saying face value is $2,400?
No. Face value is like, is about $850.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Major League Baseball is a minimum for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like in LA, the cheapest ticket is like $850. Like from ticket, like from, that's not secondary market. Like it's $800 to get in at Dodger Stadium. And the secondary market, the guys are adding like $200 to it. You know what I mean? I paid $1,000. I could have paid like.
Do you have two for game five or one?
One.
So you know, like obviously you prefer to go to the game versus sweep?
Well, yeah. You know, there's different scenarios how it could work out, right? Is the series going to be 2-2? Is it going to be 3-1? Like, there's a lot of different, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different ways that it could play out. But as you stated, you got to get lucky for that stuff. Look, I was in New York, remember, and I came up for the freaking Raptors game five, Richards. That
yes.
Same feeling. Got hammered. Raptors were winning, guys, by like 8 points with like 2 minutes left. I remember like I literally was quadruple fisting it. I had four drinks in my hand and I look up and there's 2 minutes left. I nearly was crying. I was like, oh my God, the Raptors are about to win the title and this is going to be unbelievable. Like I was just thinking of Toronto. I was like, man, Toronto, never seen anything like this. What the streets are going to be like. And then that, like that alcohol depression after, Richard. I remember like the we're screwed. We're not going to win the series. I remember me at the airport the next day. I was just like depressed and like, and then they won, of course, the game six and I wasn't there. So the only time I was really in the building was the Canadians for game five.
Have we discussed this before, Gabe, that you and I were, cause I was there. I told you that crazy story too, about the 93 game too. Eh? Like we had a buddy, I won't get into some names, but people will probably be able to,
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
We ended up a guy who had played for the Kings who was not going to be playing. had asked us if we could help arrange something and bring it down. And if we could, we would get tickets. That's and awesome. We did. And we were there for that, you know, that clincher. And it, but I remember, like, you know, I haven't told that story much, but I remember thinking at the time, even, like, it was shocking to me because it kind of seemed to imply they just really didn't, they didn't think they were going back to LA.
Yeah, that they knew it was over already.
Yeah.
Yeah, which and was there was that feeling in the air. I was a scalper in those days. And I remember it was the only game I got offered big money. Of course, it was supposed to be the Leafs and all that, blah, blah. I've told the story a million times. But it was the Kings, and it was a battle, man. Like, I remember, like, you know, accepting, like, $90 for a ticket and stuff like that. You know wow. what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah, like, outside, you know, 150, 200, whatever. But, like, it was a big letdown, right? I would have got $1,000 a ticket if it was the Leafs. But that game five, I'll never forget, Richard, outside the Forum, it was almost like the game had already been played. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
It was like, oh, no, it was like, yeah, they're going to win the cup. Like, there's, oh, yeah, there's going to be a parade after here. There's going to be a riot after outside here. This is going to happen, and they're going to win, and that's going to happen. And I got, like, $500 a ticket that night because I remember everybody, were even Canadian fans, were like, they're going to win tonight. I got to be in the building. I don't care what it is. $500, okay. And I got down to my last ticket. And I never forget, so there was a guy who goes, I'll give you $500, and all the scalpers were like, you're an idiot for not taking the $500. Like, you should just watch the bar in the tavern here in the arena. I said, nah, once in a lifetime thing. I want to see the Canes win the cup, be in the building. Wasn't there for the Raptors. And how about this? The Dodgers, I told Cam, I've told people on the podcast this week in the stat, I've been all over the facts and history and stuff, Richard. The Dodgers have only won the World Series once at Dodger Stadium before.
Wow.
In 1963.
What?
Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax were the last pitchers to celebrate a World Series in Dodger Stadium. Pretty wild.
Jesus.
And think about it, they played a lot of World Series, these guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know,
I think a lot of people think the, like, you know, like a lot of these things, they get confused. They, you know, a lot of people think Bill Buckner's error and the Mets winning that game was the World Series, but there was another game after. I think a lot of people think the Kirk Gibson home run won the World Series when in fact that was game one, right? They win in Oakland.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing with Freddie Freeman. I was there last year, Richard. Game one, right? If you people think, all right, World Series, Yankees, Dodgers, oh, yeah, Freddie Freeman, Grand Slam, right? People right away, yeah, it was game one. But it goes show, like, it could be that hero tonight, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be that game one hero?
What we were talking about earlier, Gabe, which is because I just had this conversation with our old buddy Spencer Miller, Cam and Gabe, who you remember, and I was saying, and this would be, you know, infinitely more interesting coming from you because you were in the U.S. a lot and whatever. Is it just me, or is it possible that this World Series and the anticipation of it actually feels bigger than last year when you had the perfect matchup, the Yankees, Dodgers, Otani, Judge? Yeah.
It blows this me feels away, bigger. Richard. It blows me away, like I said off the top, that Canada's team has become America's team somehow this week. Like, people are legit pulling for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I think what it is it's a fresh matchup. The Blue Jays are a likable team. They have likable players. There's a bunch of, you know, journeyman minor leaguers that have broken through at 28 type thing. Good stories. Vlad's a star. Bichette's coming back. Bichette is known. Got people know Gossman. Hell, you got Max Scherzer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's names on the Jays. And like I said, the Dodgers are the big bad villain. They're the new Floyd Mayweather. They're Duke. You know what I'm saying? So there's a fascinating. And then you bring in Ohtani. But how do you hate Ohtani? Like, yeah, and something quickly, too, because we can talk for hours. So we'll sort of, you know, rein it in a bit. But, like, you're talking about, like, baseball, and Manfred was patting himself on the back. Oh, you know, our rule changes, and I'm a genius, and, you know, nobody wanted to do what I, you know, and he was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, he was, you know, patting himself on the back and the numbers. And I'm thinking, you know what, all right, you know, I'm not going to argue for the sake of arguing. I can admit when I'm wrong. The game's moving faster. People like it. Fine. Okay. I don't like all your little rule changes. But he kept going back to the rules and, the, you know, and the TV and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, you know, Rob, I think maybe a pretty good reason that ratings are so good and people are excited is because of the players. Shohei Ohtani is the greatest player ever to play the game, and we're seeing him in front of us. Right? You got Aaron Judge. You got Ohtani. You got, you know, you got Guerrero. Like, you got the players are just amazing now. I don't like, you know, the long ball stuff all the time, but Cam, you said you got some props. Let's get to it from a betting perspective. Yep. We'll get Richard's picks, and we'll bring Big Card Julio in a minute. So what are your props? What are your picks? What are your predictions for the World Series?
Well, Gabe, we talked about Teoscar Hernandez and how much he loves to hit, and being a former Blue Jay, I really like that angle as well. So over 6.5 hits in the series is +110. George Springer's been absolutely on fire. I love him. Gabe, he's been like, I can't believe what this guy is doing right now at his age and playing hurt too after taking a 95-mile-an-hour ball in his leg. He's just been wicked. Over 6.5 hits for him. Kirk, Captain Kirk, to hit one home run in the World Series, even money, I will take that. One Dodger, Teoscar Hernandez. You like that one, Richard? Because I think that was a really good price. I don't have to lay juice. Teoscar Hernandez, most home runs in series 8-1. Series to go over 5.5 games. I do have to lay 50 cents with that, but I think the Blue Jays, it's going to go deep. I said I like 7 games. Road team to win over 2.5 games, I like. And George Springer, my MVP, Gabe, at 11-1. Let's play ball.
One thing with George Springer, he's actually, it's deceptive. It's weird with him because it appears as though, like you said, oh, what a playoff George Springer is having.
Just big hits.
He's hitting like .229.
Yeah. Right?
He really is.
A lot of slug.
Yeah, like he's had big hits at big times.
Times.
Yeah.
Right? But he's not killing it, right? I will say Springer has lit up the Dodgers. Springer had a good World Series.
You know, Gabe, like I had actually almost forgotten and until, you know, basically every highlight known to man was circulating after that home run that, like, I think I remembered that he won the World Series MVP that year against the Dodgers. And again, we're into the controversy of what was going on, but he hit a lot of those homers on the road. He hit 5 home runs in the World Series and 4 games in a row he hit a home run in the World Series.
Wild.
It's crazy.
Like, this guy's not new to being crazy clutch. That happens performance when you cheat. Is nuts.
That's what happens when you cheat. The Blue Jays will do anything to win. They're bringing cheaters in. He's a big-time, big-game player.
You know what I will say, too, Cam, on the props, and I don't have the price in front of me. I've seen it. I don't know if you have it in front of you somewhere. Jays in 5 or 6, and let me tell you why. And that sounds homerish and stupid and probably biased. And it, to some degree, will be. But one of the things that I think is not being talked about in any of the analysis I'm seeing on this series, why, if you see the Jays, the starters, the aces, the dragons that the Jays slayed this year, Gabe and Cam, Skubal, Gossman was up against Skeens in that game, and they had like 6-7 hits off Skeens. They went through Freed. They went through if you list the 10 top pitchers in the American League, the Jays beat them. And people were like, isn't that, you know, oh, that's great. But nobody's asking why. Why? Well, if you go into the analytics, the top pitchers of the game are around the strike zone all the time. They especially early in the count because they, you know, they know that if they get behind versus get ahead. And so you're not getting so teams that are all about contact, they thrive on pitchers that are always around the strike zone if they just want to get the bat on the ball. And as you saw with the Seattle Mariners' incredible starting staff, well, what happened? They hung 8 runs on Kirby. They bitch slapped Castillo. So if there's any type of team that's really difficult for really great starters, and the Dodgers have 4 of them in this series, it is this team. So then if everybody agrees that the only real Achilles heel for the Dodgers is their bullpen, and this team has known the Jays extending at bats, fouling pitches off, getting pitchers out earlier, then they get into that bullpen earlier, I wouldn't be shocked. If all things go the way they need to go in the first 2 games, because the Jays win 1 game, you know, we're always talking about the road team needing to steal a game. I think it's the Jays that need to steal a game at home, because if they win 1, if they win tonight, they only need to win 1 out of 4 to get it back to Toronto. So I actually believe if the Jays are paying +360 type thing to win in 6, I'm all over that. I think that's, you know, and 5, I know it's the old, you know, take a shot, maybe a sprinkle. But I would look at that just for, you know, nothing crazy, but I think those two things aren't completely unrealistic.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Blue Jays to win in six is plus 700. Blue Jays to win in seven is plus 600.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
That's the price. He said, no, listen, you are right. I've talked about it. Is the Toronto Blue Jays have the number one contact rate in baseball. Mm-hmm. So they, when they swing, they miss the least, right? So they said they work the counts up, but they're the number one contact team in baseball. The LA Dodgers pitchers are the number one pitchers in baseball. Whiff rate, making you miss.
Yeah.
It's strength versus strength. So like you said, Richard, like and a lot of pitchers will sort of nibble around the Blue Jays and stuff, and the Blue Jays work the count, but you called it. Blake Snell don't F around, bro. Like, they're going to challenge you. Like, they're going to say, all right, Vlad, like, I cannot wait, guys, to the first inning of these games.
Mm.
The Savage is a little different. He throws junk, and he's a kid. He's got the splitter and stuff. But more so, like, the Dodgers. Like, they're going to go right after. I saw Sean Green talking about this, actually. And he basically, he played for them both, right?
Yeah.
And basically, he said, not players been getting a lot of love this week for whatever reason. But he basically said that. He goes, I can't wait. He goes, the Dodger pitchers are not intimidated by anybody. Like, they will throw at them.
Yeah.
They're going to throw strikes, like, early at Guerrero, and they're going to
Snell,
see, like,
Snell is on another planet right now.
He is.
Like, he scares the, like,
three starts, Richard, three starts in the playoffs, 28 strikeouts, 14 consecutive scoreless innings.
Good.
So, listen, this is one of my props, actually, that I played for the World Series. Blake Snell over 14.5 strikeouts in the series.
Oh.
So, he's going to pitch twice, right? He's going to pitch twice. He's going to pitch in game one, and he's going to pitch in game five. So, he's pitching twice. So, he has, in the three starts, he had 10 strikeouts in one start, 9 strikeouts in the other, and 9 in the other.
What's the price on that game?
Plus 110.
Plus money.
Can,
plus
how does that sound?
That I get.
It sounds good.
Thing is, the Blue Jays don't strike out a lot. Here's another one, Richard. I know you like the big number ones, and we'll get Julio in here in a minute, and we'll get Richard out of here. Will any pitcher record a complete game in the World Series? Plus 1,400.
The only one that's conceded. Well, didn't Yamamoto have a?
Yamamoto just did it. Yamamoto was the first one to do it since Verlander in 2017. But Yamamoto just did it. Blake Snell went 8.
Yeah.
In the last one.
Yeah, Roberts is willing to let it happen if it's going in that direction.
Yeah, and also, if let's say they know these guys aren't pitching again. Like, the Dodgers are so, like, they don't have to worry about, we will bring him into relief. It's like, no, bro, we got Glasnow. Like, Glasnow's starting game, so we're good. Like,
if Gausman was at 85 pitches in the 8th, and
The Jays would exactly like
they let them ride
if it's 3-1 type thing. 4-1.
I think both managers don't want their bullpen, but seems like Schneider is willing to gamble more, which I think could hurt him at some point.
I know Hoffman's been good, Gabe, but I worry about him, Rich. You've seen him in the regular
15
season.
15 home runs this year,
That's the whole thing. Like, everyone's like, ooh, Hoffman, he's striking out. No, I want the starter if he's doing well to stay in. I don't want to see Hoffman come out in a game. No way, no how, not against the Dodgers.
It's wild how that all worked out, because I was saying in September, no joke, I was saying I wouldn't have Hoffman on the playoff roster. That's how much of a liability he was.
He was.
He had just been, you know, giving up home runs, bombs, walking guys. Remember that Fluharty as a strikeout of Otani in LA.
Yeah,
that's
the difference with the home field.
It was Hoffman got the win on that game. I think this is a major league first. He got the win for that game because he came in, and over the course of his one half or one third inning, he walked 5 guys.
Yes, he did.
But you know, Richard, that's why the Dodgers, Fluharty actually got Ohtani to pop out with the bases loaded. This is why the Blue Jays have home field advantage.
Yes, that's
over
true.
Over the Dodgers. Yeah, because of Fluharty getting Ohtani. Like, there's a lot of little things where if you're the Jays, there's a lot of little good symmetry. A good example, the Blue Jays, the Dodgers. Everyone thinks the Dodgers win all the time. Dodgers didn't win from 88 till 2020. It was 32 years in between World Series wins.
Holy shit.
Yeah, here we are, Richard. Blue Jays, 32 years later, right? What? 32. I'm the only one that caught that. I'm like, man, this is a little weird and eerie. This is the fifth time in World Series history that, so previous four times, I can't believe, Richard, it's only been four times this happened, but it's only happened four times in World Series history that one team swept the championship series and the other team went to seven games. The teams that have gone to seven games have won all four World Series.
Yes, I saw that. That's crazy. It wasn't, so are we, is it not the, is it Cincinnati? In that, when the Cincinnati beats Oakland, I think is one of them.
No, it was the Dodgers beating Oakland, Giants beating the Tigers, the Red Sox, the Rockies actually swept the championship series and lost. Yes. Lost the World Series to the Red Sox. So, yeah, it's amazing. There's a lot of little things, and then you get to the Dodgers bullpen, and Vesia is one of their better bullpen pitchers. And unfortunately, Vesia had to leave the team. They're being very private about it. But
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, Alex Vesia is left off the roster. He had to leave.
What?
Unfortunately, his wife is pregnant. Something didn't go right. Like, for real, Like, they basically said a family, a deep family emergency.
So he was left off the roster?
He's left off the roster.
Oh, I'm
dude,
just
I think,
it now.
I don't know if she's dying. Like, I don't even want to speculate. Like, I don't even say it out loud. But, like, it's not good, bro. It isn't just like, there's like, you know, no. Like, it's, he left, he's not in condition to pitch type thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, even like in 2 days, like, he's something bigger than baseball type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, that's terrible.
There is a bereavement. I see that there's a little clause with the thing that he could be put back on the roster, but I don't think he will be. And the Dodgers left Tanner Scott off the roster. Like, the Dodgers, everyone talks about their bullpen, their weakness. They're like, F you. They won't be here. Sorry, Tanner Scott.
Starters.
Sorry for your hurt feelings. And I feel bad for Tanner Scott because he's a hell of a pitcher. And this guy, like, is in tears and stuff. Like, the worst year of his life, not his career. He goes, this is the worst year of my life. I've never let people down like this. The Dodgers bring me in and I suck. Like, it's bad. And now the Dodgers are like, yeah, you do suck. You're not on the roster. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that. No, you're good, Tanner. They're like, listen, Tanner, Michael Conforto's another one. You're going to sit this one out, Michael. But listen, we got to get going. I know you got to get going, Richard.
Yeah.
So last thing, you said, yeah, you're going to the game with Spencer, game two. You got Bieber seats. And then I realized, what, Shane Bieber or Justin Bieber? And then I'm like, nah, Bieber's wife would get the seats. Justin. Yeah. So are you going to be, is Justin going or did Justin flip the seats over to Spencer? And what? Spencer just buddies with all the high rollers, huh?
Yeah, it's a good question because with him, it could have very well been either of them, right? But it is. No, it's actually, it's Shane.
Shane Bieber, okay.
Because, you know, they all the players get, you know, X amount of allocation of tickets for family and stuff. And I'm sure if he was pitching, he wouldn't have any available. But, you know, he's starting game three in L.A.
Family, his parents, everybody will be at the L.A.
Going to L.A. So they're not going to come up to T.O. for these whatever. So we just got lucky here. So
wow.
I'd be happy to be in the building, you know, but I even said to Spence, like, let's get down there at 4:00. Like, let's go soak up the whole, like, you know, like, soak it up. And I don't know, when you go in game five, I hope you do the same, like, get down there at noon type thing.
Well, for me to get there at noon in L.A., I'll have to leave at 6 a.m. it's like 2 hours. Like, it's bad. And you know what? I'm really risking things, too. Like, if anything goes wrong, I didn't want to say it. But, like, I get to L.A. at 11 in the morning, so I got a little leeway. The game's at 5. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. You're going day off.
Yeah. You know, I used to be like, oh, I'm not going to risk everything and a $2 ticket. No, I'm going to get there the day before. And also, I don't like traveling when I'm hungover. So my trips would turn into these 3-4 day operations, Richard, like of hotels and stuff. So this one, no, I'm really first plane out, first plane in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not even staying like in Hollywood. I'm literally staying at LAX to stay out of trouble. I'm going to get out. I'm going to go to a dispensary. I'm going to go to the hotel. I'm going to get a couple of drinks and I'm going to go to the stadium and after the game. And then I'm just realized I don't want to think ahead too much. And we have a one, but think, Richard, like it might not be the best place to be if the Dodgers win.
Sure.
Like I'm going to be like in downtown LA in the middle of a riot, essentially.
You're trapped.
Yeah. And I don't really, I'm not like all my physical safety. It's more so like, how am I going to get back to my hotel after?
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get out of Dodger Stadium. Like, I just can't imagine, but it's never happened before. That's why it would be insane, guys. The Dodgers, they haven't won the World Series in
LA
since 1963.
That is shocking to me that I didn't know that. So they are primed to win this in five.
They won the World Series in 81, they won at Yankee Stadium. When they won in 88, they won in Oakland. When they won in 2020, it was the COVID stuff. It was on a neutral field. They won in Texas. Last year, they won at Yankee Stadium. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So
easy, man.
Maybe I'll be there for it. We'll see.
Richard, you and Mary Hart.
Yeah. She, God bless her. Unfortunately, Larry King's no longer there behind home plate. I love that Larry King's infomercials are still on TV, though.
Yeah, the guy's been dead for 5 years. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. Great stuff, Richard.
His wife is making some money off
of it. Let me ask you, Cam, you're not going to the game, but you should go downtown, like around, like get the buzz around the local bars. It's better. Like,
that's what I mean.
Mississauga, I know. They're showing the games in the Mississauga City Hall Town Square.
It's all a bunch of kids and stuff down there for like concerts. No, I've done that route before, and it's not cool. And I'll tell you, my Filipino neighbor's already drunk doing karaoke. He's already singing Rod Stewart. It's freaking 1:53. These guys are ready and fired up with their TV in the garage. But anyway, Gabe, I am going to head downtown tonight. Yeah, I'm thinking about tomorrow going bananas. I wish I could.
Yeah, we got a college football show in the morning. So
we're working at noon. Yeah, that's I'll keep it clean like you tonight, Morenci. But Saturday, I think I'm going to head downtown. I hope to see you, Garner. I miss you. And
let me know for sure.
You got
it,
brother. Take care.
All right, Richard.
Okay, Gabe, enjoy. Great to catch up with you guys. And let's soak up and enjoy the hell of a World Series. And either way, somebody's going to be happy.
Yeah. Good stuff, Richard Garner. Yeah, you know what? I'm a Dodger fan, but like, if we're going to lose to anyone, for me, it's like, I do like the Jays. If it was anyone else, I'd be all in on the Jays. But
yeah.
I'm happy, Richard. We saw what the Raptors win did for the sport of basketball in Canada. And this is, if the Blue Jays win, there'll be a new generation and Team Canada will be great at the World WBC. And hopefully people get off their freaking ass and go, you know what? Why don't we have a baseball team in Vancouver? Why don't we have a baseball team in Montreal right now? And this gets, the Jays really do something really special here, but they kind of already have. Great to catch up with you, Richard.
Great stuff, man. Go Jays, go.
There's Richard Garner. Great to catch up with Richard. We'll catch up with him next week, and we'll find out. We'll see if he's the game six and game seven. So he's got tickets tomorrow. He's sitting in Shane Bieber's tickets tomorrow, and he'll try to sneak into game six and game seven if he can. All right. We only got a couple of minutes left here, and we appreciate Julio's patience. But, Julio, World Series, MLS Cup playoffs, the Chicago Fire are in. They won the wild card game. Earlier this week, we got a lot of stuff going on. College football, NFL, NHL, worlds are colliding. What's up, Julio?
What's happening, gentlemen? Go Jays, go. And exciting time of the year. College basketball tips off in a couple of days.
Is it a couple of days?
Wow. Another sport in the rotation? It's too much.
I think it's another week. And then,
they're playing exhibition. They're already playing exhibition games. But
In a week's time, we'll be talking Vermont Catamounts and Buffalo and Virginia Military Institute and Utah Valley and more schools.
I'm not ready for it right now.
None of us.
Well, I'm barely ready for the NBA. But the NBA has come back with a bang. The games have been off the hook, actually, to start the NBA season. All right, Julio, so what are your best bets this weekend? What do you got for us?
Well, first, speaking of college basketball, I found these numbers very attractive. Illinois to win the national title at 30-1 and the Big Ten at plus 650. Illinois basically this year is Eastern Europe, okay? It's Serbians, it's Croatians, it's Peja Shoyakovich's son, and a couple other Americans. So they're going to be a talented group. I like the Illini, 30-1 to win it all and plus 650 to win the Big Ten. All right, Mackenzie Dorn in the UFC on Saturday afternoon. I like her minus 150. Patting myself on the back like Barry Horowitz. New Mexico over their season win total already. Now we're talking about a bowl berth. They're going to be wearing turquoise uniforms, so the kids are going to be fired up, and they're facing Bronco Mendenhall, who left the program after 1 year last winter. So give me New Mexico, Sheriff Lobo, minus 145 against Utah State. I like Volkov in the UFC, plus 160. Look, we've been talking Diego Pavia since he was at New Mexico State, so we're not posers like everybody else, but I love Vanderbilt this weekend. Minus 3.5 for the Vandies this weekend. I like Vanderbilt. I like BYU on the road in Ames, Iowa, plus 115. BYU is one of those teams I think they could win the Big 12 and, you know, maybe find themselves in the national semifinal. Very interesting group. Their offensive line, one of the best in the country. Illinois, it's that bitter Big Ten rival, Cam. Illinois and Washington. Years of history and hatred between these two schools. I like Illinois plus 145 in that game.
You know what's funny, though, Julio? These teams actually do, like you said, it's these random
– yeah.
Random sort of new, you know, games in the Big Ten, but they do become these rivalries. You know what I mean? You're like, man, you wouldn't expect like Washington and Rutgers to be fighting, right? But like then they start to get into it. One thing with that game with Illinois, listen, Illinois, I think they're very evenly matched teams. That's an interesting game. It's kind of flying under the radar. It's like an eliminator, right? Illinois, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I thought they were a little overhyped coming into the year, but. Mm-hmm. These teams can't afford another loss. They both got two losses. You can't like keep racking up the losses. But the winner will walk out of here at 6-2 and feeling pretty good about themselves. I think Illinois, they beat USC in that wild one because USC flew across the country and stuff. I think Washington are going to get them, Julio, in this one. I think that the teams, Big Ten teams do not do well when they fly across the country. The home teams have been dominant. In these spots. These Midwest teams have really struggled on the West Coast.
That they have. Let's just hope Illinois covers the point spread. That's all I need. Make it close, Illini. Speaking of close, UCLA plus 25.5 to cover against Indiana. And boys, the game of the weekend in college football, it's tonight. Montana at Sacramento State. It opened Grizz minus 7.5. It's down to 5.5. So give me Montana minus 5.5 tonight against Sacramento State.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a big college football DJ, better Julio, but I don't know about the Sacramento State college football game tonight when the World Series is going on, but we appreciate it.
Hey, it'll be right after the World Series. It's right after the World Series. And speaking of, I got one more. The greatest rivalry.
For the record, even North Texas and
Charlotte?
Yeah, North Texas, Charlotte, not a big game per se because Charlotte absolutely suck, but it's big for North Texas. Like, North Texas only have a loss on the year. And that Cal Virginia Tech game tonight, too. Same thing, man. Cal are secretly 5-2. Virginia Tech struggling, obviously, this year. But no, you know what, Julio? Good call on the Montana Cal State game here tonight. Montana laying 6.5 against Cal State. Sacramento, and what's your final? What do you got here, Julio, to wrap it up?
It's the border war, border war between Wyoming and Colorado State. I love this rivalry. I've covered it. Covered four of these games. It's a lot of fun. Colorado State, the new coach Angle. Watch for the win this time of year in Laramie. So I'm taking under 47.5 Cowboys Rams in the border war.
All right, there's big card Julio with us, and I brought up MLS Cup playoffs. We have Inter Miami and Nashville SC tonight. Inter Miami minus 167. The Vancouver Whitecaps are playing. I'm going to be there. I got a big week coming up. Man, the Whitecaps are up to -223 favorites. They're the biggest favorite.
270 on FanDuel game. Holy cow, man, that's a big spread. Holy, 270.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of love. Like, they're people have caught on that they're good. Yep. I don't like it. It's sort of like a band. I was like, I liked it better when we were underground, but now it's like everybody knows the Whitecaps are. To me, the championship, I don't know if you got a future, Julio, for this, but I think it's going to be the Whitecaps, LAFC, or Inter Miami that win the MLS Cup. So out of the West, I think it's going to be like, I think LAFC and Vancouver will freaking play each other next round too, which I don't like. I think the winner of LAFC Vancouver will go to the MLS Cup from the West. And I think Messi and company will come out of the East. You have a prediction, Julio?
I do not. Not an educated prediction. So I'm rooting for Vancouver and hey, maybe Chicago to upset some people. But I do like Chicago overs. That's been an ATM this year.
You're right.
Yeah, went 3-1 in the last game. They went 3-1. Chicago are in a little bit of trouble now. Now they're playing Philadelphia. All right, Julio, good stuff. Thanks for stepping up, Julio.
Appreciate it, guys, as always. Good luck this weekend.
All right, Cam. So you have any NFL picks on the way out here?
Yes, I do, Gabe. I'm going to take the Houston Texans in a bounce-back spot against the San Francisco 49ers. I like that. Denver, I know a lot of people will like Dallas. I think Denver actually shows up this week, -3 against the Dallas Cowboys. 2.5 points with the New York Jets. They're a horrible football team, but I'm not laying 6.5 with Cincinnati. So give me the New York football Jets there, Gabe. And my pooch was 4.5. New Orleans Saints +4.5 against Tampa Bay. It's actually gone down to 4 and 3.5 in some spots, but Tampa Bay ravaged with injuries. I think the Saints can win the game outright there. So that's what I got in the NFL right now.
Interesting card in the NFL this week. A lot of injuries this year in the league. So there's, you know, it's a lot of tough handicaps, but you've got some, you got the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday night football, a game that I'm actually going to miss because I'm going to be at the MLS playoff game.
Who do you like?
The Packers are 3-point favorites over the Steelers. I like the Packers.
Me too.
In this game, I'm going to take the Packers to beat Aaron Rodgers and company. The Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos, I like the over 51 in that football game. I like the Buffalo Bills. I think the Panthers are pretty good. The Panthers can be good, and they're pretty good at home. But the Bills coming off a bye week, I think this is a good spot for the Bills. For the Bills to roll. They're laying 7. Obviously, I prefer it a little bit more in teasers. You know what a good teaser, like, you know, you compare what the money line or the teaser will pay is the Buffalo Bills to beat the Carolina Panthers. Like, the Bills lose this game, McDermott, like, the hot seat will start to get real. Like, people are going to start to want to fire him. Like, they need to win this game. And I don't see, like, you know, Josh Allen understands it. Josh Allen's talking about how his grandmother's calling him on TV. And it's funny. I said 2 weeks ago, I said, man, Josh, like, doesn't, like, he's not himself right now. I said, his facial expressions, his body language, it's not Josh Allen. And he's a different person the last couple of weeks. And this week at the press conference, Josh Allen said that after the last game that his grandmother called him. And he said, yeah, my grandmother called me out of the blue after the last game. And she said that I need to smile more and I don't look happy and that what's wrong. And like, it's funny, man. I know Josh Allen as well as his grandmother, evidently. Like, I could tell. I was like, yeah, man, dude, like, what's going on with you? And he admitted, he goes, yeah, my grandmother called me and told me I need to, like, my body language sucks and I got to be better. And I'm not happier?
That's
like,
the best grandma calls. Hey, Gabe, she's taking care of business. Love it. That's
She called, like he said, she called more from a, is everything all right? Oh, like, she was like, what's wrong? Like, I can tell, like, something's off with you. Cool. And he said, Josh said, no, not off. He goes, you know, we're just a little frustrated. It was funny. Josh goes, yeah, I'm off because I'm turning the ball over. He basically, he said, you know, he goes, it's never fun when you turn a ball over. And he goes, I've been turning the ball over recently. So, you know, and he goes, he goes, 2 weeks, we've had a bye. We're ready this week, blah, blah, and all that stuff. But, yeah, the Bills should win. And don't forget, the New York Giants beat up the Philadelphia Eagles this year. And now it's payback. So I'm looking right now. Buffalo Bill, Philadelphia Eagle, money line parlay is -173. You're better off teasing it. 7-point teaser. You got a 7-point teaser for like -140. -1, it used to be -130, but now in some books, -150. All right, Cam. So your prediction was the Blue Jays in 7 games?
Yeah, Blue Jays in 7. I didn't know Garner was going to come in hard with Blue Jays 5 or 6, but I'm going to say 7. I think it's going to be a classic series. And, yeah, you talk about it, strength-on-strength game. This World Series, and there have been a lot of good ones, I've never been more fired up. The Dodgers, absolute Goliath, and the Jays playing great. Let's hope it's a classic because I can't wait, man. I just wish they were playing now. I'm so fired up.
Well, it's finally here. Yeah, it's been a long week of waiting. I've been really looking forward to it, too. So, yeah, we got the college show in the morning, so don't go too hard tonight. And
I won't.
Tomorrow, look, it's Saturday. Tomorrow's the day, Cam. If I was you, tomorrow's the day. Go downtown, man. You got the Sabre. The Sabres are playing the Leafs at like 2 in the afternoon. Into the baseball game. It's all right next to each other in Toronto, the arena and the stadium. And, like, I would just go to a bar right down by the stadium.
Great call, Gabe. Just the minute we're done the show, I'm just going to fire it up on the GO train and get down to Toronto for the party, buddy.
All right. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the city tonight. And thanks to Richard Garner, Big Card Julio for joining us. Enjoy the World Series. My prediction, Dodgers in 6. Dodgers in 6. The fact that the Dodgers haven't won a World Series at home since 1963 doesn't give me a lot of confidence. They're going to win in Game 5. And the Blue Jays are going to be a tough out here, but I'm giving the Blue Jays, like, credit by saying in 6. Like, Dodgers have lost once in the playoffs all year. They're 9-1. So I'm saying, all right, they could lose 2 games in this series. I kind of think it's Dodgers in 5, but my official will say Dodgers in 6, but Dodgers -1.5. I'll have a million picks online, obviously, throughout the series. Other than that, you're on your own. Enjoy the World Series, everybody. May the winners be yours if you're a Dodger fan.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.